Good morning. I am glad it's Wednesday morning.
And not Tuesday night?
And not Tuesday night.
Well, welcome, and hopefully you've gotten over your headache from last night. So
it sounds like your headache's going to last to 2040, Marty.
Might just go on until 2040. Right?
And as we mentioned earlier this morning, just to get people caught up who have not been listening throughout the entire program, and we do not expect you to, we appreciate those of you who do, a plan to extend the life of the county's Westside Tax Increment Financing District by bonding $3.5 million needs just one more green light. It received approval Tuesday night from the Monroe County Plan Commission, Monroe County Board of Commissioners, and the Monroe County Council. The Plan Commission voted 6-3 to extend the TIF's expiration from 2024 to 2040 to fit into the county's comprehensive plan, and the commissioners decided the same by a 2-1 vote. The county council, which is you know this, narrowly approved the $3.5 million bond issue, because that's your job as the county council, with a 4-3 vote. This plan now moves back to the Monroe County Redevelopment Commission for a public hearing and final vote, which must take place in time for the county to sell the bonds by June 30th. That's the deadline for legacy TIFs.
Last time I checked is Saturday.
Those created before 1995, June 30th, not May 30th, to have bond obligations in place under state law that went into effect last July. So now that we're updated on all that mishmash, it was a busy day yesterday, huh?
It sure was. And when we're talking $3,500,000, you see people think, well, now that's not, in the whole scheme of things, the biggest deal. Well, here it is. Right now, even if you use today's numbers, they are pulling in $1,700,000 per year, and that's an approximate amount. It's a lower amount than what they really are receiving in that TIF. So if they're taking it out an extra 15 years using these numbers, and of course we know the numbers will be far greater that many years from now, that total is $25,500,000. So if somebody would be throwing out that $25 million price tag, maybe somebody would be paying attention. But you know, the interesting thing is that if we said to the folks, look, we planned to put something in place and you're going to be taxed an extra $25 million, people will be coming out of the woodwork. Well, they don't want to pay this extra $25 million tax. Well, then why aren't they paying attention to this? I will have to say that I am grateful that at least we have more and more information coming to the table, so that the county council really was more involved in how this will affect the taxpayers for our school district in Richland Bean Blossom School District. I am grateful for that, at least even though we didn't have enough time to get people from the community around a table to try to figure out ways that we could work together to maybe make some kind of a compromise. I believe that if we'd had a little more time, we might have been able to get that to happen. But even with the time that we had more more knowledge about what's going on, and the council, I believe, had more interest and informed interest in how this all works. And so,
Marty, I'm going to have to stop you because I'm really confused.
Okay.
And I have been following this, so I am really confused. You're saying that to bond this $3.5 million that's going to go into 2040, that it's actually going to cost taxpayers $25 million? Is that what you just said? Because if you didn't,
saying,
I want to clarify it.
Okay. Right now, they are pulling in $1,700,000.
Let me stop everybody. Who is pulling in what?
The county's redevelopment commission for that Richland TIF, and they're calling it the Westside TIF. The information that was given to us by their financial advisor was it's a little over $1,700,000 that they received in revenue
every year.
Because during the year, yes. And that if they weren't receiving it, that $1,700,000 would go back to the taxpayer in the form of the assessed value being released back to the taxpayer, thereby giving us that kind of property tax relief.
So,
and if you take that $1,700,000 and take it out times the extra 15 years,
that's if you did nothing to that district and it's kept it the same way it is today over 25, then you get to this number.
Yeah, so. And we're saying, I'm just saying,
so that's if you don't add to it,
15 years on top of the 2025, if I'm taking it out an extra 15 years, that number is $25,500,000.
So wait a minute. I thought, Marty, you know what? You're going to, if I'm getting confused on this, I can't imagine what the general public is.
Well, okay, let's go back again. We know right now that this TIF would expire if you just left it alone and it just expired on its own. It would be over either in 2024 or 2025, depending on how you read the legislation. And this, what is being proposed and what is being passed so far with all the votes, is that they want to extend at another 15 years out until 2040.
So where's this number 3.5 million coming from if it's actually 25.5?
Well, the 3.5 is how much of a bond that's going to be put in place, and they are amortizing over until they can get it out for 25 years from the beginning, which is actually 15 years beyond where we are now to expire. They're taking out an additional 15 years, but it's a 25-year bond for a $3,500,000 project. So it's really not about the project. What it really is about is extending the TIF, and I understand that. But I think that people should recognize it's not about $3,500,000. It's about $25,500,000, and actually will be a great deal more than that. Now,
wow.
This is so that these dollars would be available to be used for infrastructure in that West Side area to be able to grow jobs, and we all want it to grow jobs. I am not against growing jobs. I've been a big supporter of that TIF, as well as our school district has been a big supporter of that TIF. Our school superintendent even went and spoke in favor of what it took to get PrintPac moved out there and so forth. So we've been a big supporter of it, but we were told here's when it's going to expire, and then you get this assessed value back to help your school and help your taxpayers and so forth. So when this popped up, a couple of months ago, that they're going to move forward and try to move forward to extend it, not out to 2024, but out to 2040, of course you've got people who care about our school, our school superintendent and the president of the school board are coming forward and saying, wait a minute, this is not what we thought was.
Why do people feel that 2024, 2025 is not long enough? Why do they feel that they need to lock this up to 2040?
Well, because they have a list of other projects they would like to do, and they believe that there will not be enough money through the end of 2024, 2025 to do all of the projects on the list. And I get that, because if somebody said, if you could write down every project you ever wanted to do, lots of people could come up with a pretty big
list. Cover any number you want.
Right. However, I really believe that once the vote has been taken, then we all get on board and make it all work as best it can. So if this goes through the Redevelopment Commission and it gets passed the way it's being presented right now, there's been enough discussion that hopefully we'll be able to make sure that every time it's possible to release some of this money back to the taxpayer, that they will do it. Now, they've not done it so far, so their track record sure doesn't say.
How many years has that been?
It started in the early 90s.
So 20 years.
And they never released back.
Okay. Well, just to make sure that that goes on until 2040.
So what we're talking about is the total amount of years. It's going to be more like 45 years that the Richland Bean Blossom taxpayers are subsidizing the infrastructure growth for the West Side. And it doesn't seem real balanced. However, one of the things that I was very concerned about at the end of the meeting, I thought the meeting went very respectfully and people were listening, and our school board had an opportunity to make their presentation, which first they said, well, let's just let everybody speak for 5 minutes. And I just said, I think that's hardly fair. You know, I think that, you know, Richard B. Blossom's here to make a presentation. Now, I did not say they should have longer time and nobody else should. I'm just saying this is such a big deal here that to tell people they've got 5 minutes when we're taking something from
what
them.
Why did it take so long to get everybody together on this or figure out that this might not be the best way to go forward on it? Why are we waiting here till 30 days before it has to be done?
Well, you wonder if it was deliberately delayed until it all had to happen and nobody had time to.
Well, what gets delayed? Together? Just not having formal meetings?
The Redevelopment Commission did not determine that they were going to go forward with this until they first started talking about it in February, decided to go forward, start working on it in March and April, and here we are.
So they're not required to start this process any earlier. They're just required to have it done by June 30th.
Right.
Okay.
Right. But the at the end of the meeting,
So essentially, when this law changed, nobody was like, hey, we got one of these coming up. Let's all pay attention to that. We just thought it would just go away. We just thought it would be business as usual.
Or maybe nobody bothered to look at the dates until January of this year.
Or maybe I had questioned more than once. Are we moving forward with this? If anything happens, it was as if no, nothing's going to happen. And then, boom, well, yes, we may as well let everybody discuss it. And so RDC said move it forward, and now this has just gone through the whole process. But there was to be one other vote by the county commissioners. When we met last evening, the county council, the commissioners had not had that last meeting. What they ended up doing was meeting over in their little conference room and voting on this while the public was all in there in the county council meeting. They held a meeting.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned that last week, that was going to have to happen almost simultaneously.
Well, you know, here's the thing. One thought, one would believe that something this important, they would have believed that they would
listen to the public comment first, right?
I'm sorry?
You need to listen to the public comment first before you vote?
One would think, and then they would also, I believe, would come and have that final vote in the public meeting room with the public there with the cameras rolling to make this kind of huge decision in that little conference room without anyone even knowing that they were going to do that other than anybody who might have gone to their staff time, because what this was they went into their staff time yesterday at 2 o'clock or whatever, and then, if I'm understanding this correctly, they recessed rather than adjourning that staff time meeting and then came together after the plan commission had met, and they went in, and then the county commissioners went into the conference room and took a vote on this. Now, that might all be very legal since they recessed and then came back together, but it is certainly not in light.
There's not a lot of transparency there, is there, Marty?
It was certainly not the way we should behave. And when I asked one of the commissioners about it, because I was just so ashamed of the way county government would behave. This has nothing to do with how the vote came out. This is whether or not you're transparent about what you're doing. And I asked one of the county commissioners, I said, I'm ashamed to be a part of this, that you would go in that room and vote on this without the public there. And the response was, well, we might have to ratify it at our next meeting. Now, that's not a good enough reason. And hopefully the public will start insisting. You take that, what they're calling a staff meeting, which is ridiculous to call it that. It's a public meeting. You're voting on very essential things, millions of dollars. You take that into the meeting room, and you have the cameras rolling good because that's what we expect. And let the public know what you're doing because this is just not right. I'm not saying the vote wouldn't have gone exactly the same, but the public has a right to be a part of it.
And Marty Hawk's our guest this morning. She's a county councilwoman, checks in every Wednesday. So the next hurdle is what, if there is a hurdle? Is this just rubber stamp moving forward and we're done with it?
Well, the next one is the Redevelopment Commission meeting.
Which is when, Marty?
I'm sorry, I don't have that date. I'm sorry. But do I think it'll go through? Well, most likely, and especially because even though that we had some people who were voicing their concern, I believe that at this point, I don't know that you're slowing them down, Eddie, but here's what I would like to think, that because the vote was close at the county council level, and because the county council has input in some of these things, that we wouldn't have any more discussion about, oh, well, what other opportunities do we have? Well, let's just buy that nursing home over there. If you'll recall, that's how that sort of got started. What's that been now, about a year ago? They didn't do it, but there was discussion, really moving forward, thinking they could go buy a nursing home for a for-profit organization. So I think there's enough eyes now watching and enough really information by the very members of the RDC that there'll be more people watching what's going on. And that, you know what, they serve without any recognition. They are working hard just for the betterment of the community. So I don't mean to be finding fault with the RDC. They're just following with the rules that they've been given. And I know we're about out of time, but I just wanted to mention that, you know, we had all this conversation about that clean MRF that the...
Right.
They're having to come back and ask for some $87,000 in operating money because they don't have this underway. There's something that's going
wrong. I thought
there
was a whole bunch of money that they had to begin with to start this whole process, and now something's wrong and they need more money?
Yeah. $82,220 because...
Bake sale,
have all
car
the
wash. Bake sale,
yeah,
car wash.
Right. I'm not baking. How about you?
Nope, I don't know how to bake.
Okay, well, I will talk to you next Wednesday.
Marty, thank you for your time.
The opportunity.
County Councilwoman Marty Hawk checks in every Wednesday morning just after 8:05.